Hey, we are going to get underway, I think. Welcome everyone to Policy Committee. The meeting is open and we have no apologies, just Councillor Laws not here at the moment, so he's not an apology, is he there? Do we have to move and second him? No. Rightio. No leave of absence. Confirm the agenda. No conflicts of interest. No. Confirmation of the minutes then. Somebody care to confirm them as for an accurate? Councillor Hope, seconded Councillor Noon. All in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Any discussion of those? Matters arising? No. Okay, on to agenda, starting then with NES Plantation Forestry. That's correct, isn't it? That's the right order. Mm-hmm. Oh, Director's Report. Mainly matters for noting and progress on things that are underway already. I don't feel we need to go through one by one in detail. They have been circulated and no doubt you have read them. Anything particularly?
Through you, Madam Chair, I would usually provide an update, but we do have a couple of briefings after this where I'll update on what is in this report, actually.
Yeah, so that's still free for discussion at this point, obviously, as a public meeting. So if anybody would like to discuss anything particularly that's in the report, absolutely free to.
Yep.
Councillor Scott.
As we all know, policy is important, yeah? In fact, it's really important. I looked at this report and I thought, wow, there's actually a lot going on in this space. I'm not talking necessarily just about the ORC, I'm talking about everybody. You know, so I looked at the report and I thought the DCC notified the hearings process is going on, waiting for an outcome to the middle of this year, CODC review pending, QLDC district plan review, WDC review pending. I looked at that. I looked at the DC land use consent issues that were going on. I was aware of, for example, the Harware proposed development in terms of a developer wants to set it up for 200 residential properties, special housing area, and I'm thinking, wow, because I know that this is a feast of issues in terms of what does that really sort of mean. Typically what it means is they all want the same house, but they're prepared to give away their green space, and I'm thinking, wow. And then I look at the next one that says the proposed Canterbury Pest Management Plan has released its decision. So, for example, we as councillors have been wanting to talk to their councillors for the last 6 months about wallabies and other pest things, and they've just released their decision, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute. So my question, quite simply, Madam Chair, is as councillors, are we engaged or are we sort of missing the boat as all these strategic issues are going on? Like, Central Otago's going crazy in terms of their subdivision development. They want some direction, and I thought that was one of their core responsibilities. You know, the pest plan, ECAN and Neighbours, has already gone on with their business. And all this other planning stuff. So are you able to reassure me, as a councillor, that we're doing what we need to do and we're engaged?
Thank you. Yeah, I guess we all need to reassure ourselves of that, and yeah, valid point. But yeah, Ms Winter, would you like to comment on some of that stuff around development?
Sure. Through you, Madam Chair. I won't comment on pests. Maybe Mr McLean could comment on that. But in terms of urban development capacity, the Manager of Policy, Ms Meredith, has just put a proposal together that we're hoping will go to a mayoral forum shortly. And in actual fact, we would be recommending that it goes to a joint South Otago mayoral forum because of the spillages over into the two different regions, proposing a way forward on bringing elected members together and other agencies, the core ones like health, education, transport, etc., to talk about the issues around growth and planning for growth in a an integrated way. So,
because Councillor Lawless is not here, but you know we hear a lot about STEDs. Our responsibility in terms of air quality and water quality. We hear about Lake Siphon and all this Lake Ahwea. And, you know, this is all important stuff. Meanwhile, the place is just getting covered with subdivisions. Can somebody satisfy me that we're fulfilling our strategic responsibility, transportation in terms of quality of life? Are they going to? Are we open? Are we not?
That discussion around a broader approach to long-term thinking. But I guess in answer to that, in a policy setting as well, we did recently do the RPS, which has a lot of that type of thinking in it. So I think when we come to doing the implementation plan, which is a requirement of the RPS, it needs to be done within a year of it coming out, which it hasn't yet, then we will be able to really focus our minds on those types of issues and where our council needs to be.
So who is actually implementing the implementation plan so that it will be achieved and definitely in the 12 months and it goes via us and boom, boom, boom? When will we see the first draft of that?
Of the
implementation plan of the RPS.
We have an RPS.
Sure. So with the departure of one of our senior policy staff who was tasked with working on that, we've just contracted someone who has experience in that, and for 2 days a week just to come back and focus on the RPS and getting those measures and the implementation plan in place. So she'll start from Monday.
Thank you. That's a good answer, and I think it's so important.
Madam Chair, that's fascinating. Will that be a consultative exercise? Because the implementation will be largely the responsibility of the District Council
and
the
city. Yeah, I guess that's the RPS already actually sets out. It has methods underneath each policy, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So will they have a regular chance to input our new contracted person with how do we make it all work? Because, by God, it's important that it does. And I pick up Councillor Scott's point. The rate of change and potential change is almost exponential.
Yeah.
And the one thing we can really use to manage our place in the world, without sounding like an Otago University ad, is the RPS.
Thanks for your comments. Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And taking the opportunity while we're on RPS, because we're close. And it's going to become a bit of a focus for us for a while. And Councillor Scott is going to implement the implementation. There's a bit of time gone by, and we've got six new councils, effectively, a couple of new mayors. So we've got a careful process of interpreting, communicating. I think it might need a visit, because you won't get it all in one room, to actually understand where it fits in the planning hierarchy, how it works, what the outcomes from the RPS are, and what they mean, and how, and to start the implementation of the implementation. So I think we need to be thinking about this from a business planning perspective, and because traditionally, and this might be being a little critical past, but the bites that the RPS now has with for the TLAs that they, I've forgotten the exact words now, but they must.
They've
must.
Got to give effect to it.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got to.
They must give effect to. Whereas in the past, bit of work, put it on the shelf and get on with tomorrow. I'll leave it there.
Thank you.
You're clearly thinking about it.
Yeah, there is a lot to do.
And Tanya's really well across it, which is fantastic. What I think is challenging for us is, first of all, we've got to get the RPS, you know, through.
Yep.
So one of the things I've asked is we...
Is that actually true?
Yeah.
No, but shouldn't we be getting an action plan start and thinking about that now?
Yes.
So when that's finished, we're ready to go, as opposed to 12 months after.
So you're exactly right. What we need to do, and this is one of the issues that Tanya and I are grappling with at the moment, is that everything is done in a very linear fashion currently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we really need to be able to change that up so that we've got multiple work streams working at different things concurrently.
Yeah.
But at the moment it's very much we do this step and then we'll do that step and we'll sit and wait and then we'll do something else. So that, you know, that requires a culture change, and as we've talked to you, there's some significant things happening in that space shortly that will help us with that. So it's going to take a little bit of time. You're right. So we do, in terms of getting the RPS through, one of the things I've asked for is we were sort of patiently sitting waiting for people to sign pieces of paper. I've asked that we actually bring all those parties together with the intent of getting them to sign on the line rather than just sit and wait for it to happen. And then hopefully, if we can achieve that, then we'll be able to move forward. And implementation is really important. And I think another piece for me is not just implementation in terms of the TAs and what that means, but just in the small bit of digging into planning documents that I've done, we've got implementation that we need to worry about too, because we've got inconsistencies between our new RPS and what's in our plan. So we've got some work that we need to look at and identify as well.
Turned a negative thing into a really exciting thing.
Okay, anyone else want to comment? Oh, sorry, Councillor, no, you did.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just wondered about the, and I absolutely understand all what you've just explained, RPS adoption and all sign-off and then implementation plan. But do we have currently a regime in place with the TLAs where, picking up Councillor Scott's point, where there's a subdivision or, a, I don't know, some sort of activity, land use activity that we may have an interest in, does that immediately trigger the staff in the whatever TLA? Do they get on the phone or flick an email, or is there some way for our staff to be able to press a button, Central Otago, where all the what's all happening in terms of land use activities, when's the submission dates, do we have an interest, yes or no, blah, blah, blah. Have we got something in play currently?
Yes, do you want to talk about what you've got? And then
Yes. Yeah. Through you, Madam Chair. Yeah. I've got staff that have really good relationships with their peers in TAs. I myself have got relationships. A lot of the people who are in territorial authorities around here at the moment, I've either worked with when I was down here, or they've been in other parts of the country. So it's really good. And I think that once you have those strong relationships, it opens the door. I've been working with the assets group manager from Clutha in the last couple of weeks around a consent down there. Queenstown, I've got one of my staff, Mr. Hanley, he is plugged in to all of the TAs in terms of their plans, you know, even their long-term plans. Mr. McCabe and him have been working together to look at any items of interest in their long-term plans that we might want to just say that we've seen it, we've acknowledged it, etc. We're interested in it. So at that level, I've asked that we talk at executive team level around forming relationship at executive team level. I have been part of executive teams where the regional council has moved its meetings around the region so that they come in into, you know, your space and you're able to have a combined meeting and touch point, you know, at that higher level. And I think that's maybe something we could look at doing.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think in little pockets of the organisation, there are all sorts of things that happen. I think at some point we need to organise it differently so that it's more streamlined and we all know what's happening. And the LTP submission has come about because, for me, I identified some things like the issues at Whenuakea around sewage and Clyde and other things, and felt that we really needed to actually put something down on paper about our concern around those things Now, they won't necessarily be, you know, as fulsome and as wholesome as I would like them to be in terms of submissions right now, but I think it's a good place to start, and then we can move forward from there.
To add to that, for example, Clutha in their long-term plan have signalled 21 stormwater upgrades.
Gosh.
Now, in terms of urban water quality, you know, we have an interest in that, and so you know, we've signalled to them that we're interested.
We've got a stakeholder forum as well on 8th of June on stormwater and wastewater, so that will be good as well, another chance to discuss, and in terms of our draft swimming targets as well, what that will mean in an urban water setting. Quite strong ramifications, no doubt. You'll remember as well that mid-May, I think we were scheduled for a workshop again on Lower Waitaki Aquifer. We had a briefing at the DCC when we had our meeting there not long ago. Any comments around those things? No.
What about paying, Madam Chair?
I was up to 3.3 and 4.
Thank you.
We've talked in other reports about forestry as well, and there's some updates there. Linda's Manuhirikia. Cadrona update on progress there. 1D, you'll remember that we were going to be updated in May, but we're now looking at a briefing in June regarding 1D and how we might go forward in that area, which, as you'll remember, is residual flows and flow setting stuff. Councillor Scott?
Yeah, 4.2, development of proposed plan change 5A, Lindis Integrated Water Management. It says the Environment Court has agreed that the parties proceed to a combined hearing for both the minimum flow plan change and the Lindis Catchment Group resource consent application to replace the existing mining privileges. So my question is, you know, in relation to the Environment Court, what is our approach as the ORC? Because it seems to me, you know, we've been in this, you know, we've been administering, you know, the hearing process, whereas now our role is changing. And the CE, when you confirm what our role is, you know, will that be right through our organisation in terms of how we approach it?
So this afternoon we're going to workshop on this.
Are we?
Yes. Mm. And I wonder if it's best to leave your questions
open. Okay, I don't apologise.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you. Right, yeah. And yes, I'm sort of brushing past the updates on the catchment flow setting ones and the fours, unless anyone does want to touch on those, we'll be updated as well, most likely in workshops this afternoon too, further. And then there's regional land transport in 5, and just a bit of a note there on some of the good progress that's being achieved there. Don't know if there's anything particularly people want to touch on.
No? Just one point on transport matter. We're talking about central and rapid rates of growth. I can assure you that the transport plan is built around that.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply built around a long-term vision for Central Otago. So there will be pockets of work being done in various disciplines and various areas, but that's not to say that they shouldn't be tied together in a bigger parcel. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, anybody else? Councillor Baker.
I'd like to move the recommendation on page 11, Madam Chair. And if you let me just go back to the RPS for one fleeting second while I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, when I was a full-on communications consultant, a North Island Regional Council employed me to turn their RPS into a very accessible 10-page access document. And this was back in the days when RPS didn't actually mean a hell of a lot. They were, as somebody said, you had a look and you put it on the shelf because you only had to pay attention to it or whatever the phrase was.
Yeah.
Now we're into the grunty stuff where you've got to give it give effect to it. And I'm thinking that such a little... I'm not volunteering, by the way, because I charge far too much for anything. It would be... I'm not suggesting either that it's not an accessible document, but it is big and it's heavy and it's detailed.
Yeah.
And people would say, holy smoke, where do you start? Mm-hmm. Well, this little booklet would say, here's where you start. And it leads you into the key bits of detail that you need to know at your district or your city.
Mm.
Now, tell me to go away because you've already thought of that, but it's an idea which I think might be worth considering.
Yep.
Yeah, and we also wanted the RPS to have that sort of, a tool at the beginning where you hit it and you know where to go throughout the document. It's quite visual and well-structured like that, colour-coded through it, whatever.
Yep.
So it's quite accessible. I totally hear what you're saying as well, that there needs to be a shorter one that grabs people's attention and why would I even want to go to this? That's great. And then there'll be a whole lot more communications-wise as well that draws people out in a meaningful way.
I'm guessing you two people have taken Director Sutton off for several copies and explained what an RPS is and and how it's really, really important.
Absolutely.
I've already been taken to several copies by Director Sutton.
I'm sure you didn't mind that.
I think I've said this before to this group, but the average attention span has dropped to 7 seconds. So I expect people to absorb these kind of documents. So we need to look at ways to create it, repackage them and
LTP consultation document was really good. It could be shorter than that, I'm sure, for the RPS and even more visual. But that was a really good start and we're getting good feedback on that.
And through you, Madam Chair, you'll remember with the biodiversity strategy, we've kind of tried to capture that visually on a page. That's sort of the intent. The level that I operate at, so my team are getting used to that.
And you're nice colour and about pictures. Plan on a page, and if you can't summarise exactly what it is on a page visually and attractively, we're going to get nowhere. Right.
And just one more comment, let's not forget video. It's the highest communication now, and people are not reading anymore. We're talking about generations coming up, they're accessing content via their phones. In fact, 80% of consumers access our website via their phones.
Mm-hmm.
So the world is changing.
Great. Any other comments then before we get a seconder for the recommendation? No? Mm-hmm. Someone seconded it then? Councillor Noon, all in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Against carried. Closed. Thank you.
And so it's below the RMA, below national policy standards and national environment standards, but it's above the TLAs and regional plans. Right, so by that, I'm not talking about long-term plans or anything like that. I mean, I'm talking about different plans and regional plans.
Yeah.
He's in just a bit of a corner.
He had to be quick.
I'm just going to keep.
No, I mean,